Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are, though, now in our last week of our Ten Commandments series. It has been a long but amazing journey to go through all of the different commandments that God has asked his people to follow. I want to say thank you so much for sticking with it for the last 11 weeks. That's 3 months of your life. That's a quarter of the year. There's so much that's actually going into this here, but there is so much we had to look at and understand on what God is telling us that he wants for us and from us. Last week, we looked at how God has called us to not give false testimony against our neighbor. And to break it down, God is saying, make sure that what comes out of your mouth is the truth. Keep lies and unwholesome talk out of your mouth because lies can only cause harm. We looked at how Jesus speaks truth, and Jesus says that lying is actually the native tongue of the devil. So when we are speaking lies, we are using the language of Satan himself. God wants us to use our mouths to glorify God, to praise him, and to share the truth and hope that we have in his son, Jesus Christ. So this week, as I said, wraps up what God is asking from us, and that is going to be found in Exodus 20:17. And it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so this brings up the big question, what does it mean to covet? Because the word covet is not something that we use today on a regular basis. You're not saying, man, I'm really coveting that. No, that's not what's happening. What we're saying here, to covet means to long for, to desire, to lust for something. So God is saying, stop desiring your neighbor's life, all of it. You should not long for that house. You should not want a spouse like that person's. You should not want servants like they have. And I want to break that down. You'd be like, servants? Well, if you have a maid, a chef, you're like, that sounds awesome to me. You should not be longing to have his amazing animals. If you're a farm person, you'll understand that one. You'd be like, oh man, if I just had a longhorn, that would be great. And then it flat out says, anything that is your neighbor's, stop lusting after it. This is the first commandment that we get in the Ten Commandments that we've gone through that's not a physical action. This one is completely about the heart. It's all about what are you wanting and desiring. It's not about like murdering, you go out there and do a physical action. Stealing, where if you're going out there and lying, there are all these things that we're doing physically. This is the first one that God is saying, I'm looking at your heart completely. And as we've gone through this series, we've actually saw that God is saying, don't do these actions. Yes, we have to stop these, but we looked at how it all runs so much deeper. This one is to wrap up the rest of the commands, just the Ten Commands. There's a lot more, but just these 10 to wrap them up. And God is saying, I'm going to look at your heart and you need to have your heart straight. And he says, why are you looking at other people's things? Why are you wanting what they have? And it's that saying that the grass is greener on the other side. We have this thought process that I will be happier over there. Things over here are going to be good. So if I could just get to that grass, it will be fantastic. When I see what they're doing over there, I say, you know what? That's what's going to bring me fulfillment. I need to go over there and make it happen on that side. And we just think the other side of life, if I was living there, everything would be perfect. But that's not true. It's never true. That never actually works out that way, where we look for something here on the earth and we go, oh, if it was just over there, it'd be so much better. But I've had this thought process myself many times. Interesting enough, I've done this in ministry. I've been doing ministry for about 19 years now. And I was working at a church and it was hard. It was draining. It took a lot out of me. Everywhere I turned, there was just this new problem arising. And I had this thought that working for another church would just make everything better. Over there, that church is great. Over there, the people in that church, they have no issues. Over there, it's going to be so much easier. First and foremost, I need to say what a ridiculous notion that actually is. The only perfect church that exists is the one that's not run by people, with no people in the congregation, where everyone just lives for Christ always. Oh, wait, that's heaven, okay? That's exactly how that will be. So that doesn't exist. But it was interesting because this church that I was looking at, that I was longing for, they had an opening for a new campus. And I thought, this is it. This is what I want to do. I want to go out there and I can start this church up. I actually will just be a branch. So they'll have the money, they'll have the people, they'll have the means. And seeing how they've grown, they grew at a ridiculous rate in just a few short years. It looked like this amazing opportunity to get into this beautiful, picturesque church. And I decided to listen to that week's sermon that was given to 10,000 people. And as I was listening to the preacher, his preaching, it started off so strong. It was awesome. It was informative. It was applicable. It was biblical. But as the sermon went further and further, it started to get a little off. And I was like, it's okay. We could be back on track. It's coming. Okay, we'll have those moments. This will be great. And then near the end of the sermon, he said from the pulpit, "We help those in need." And I thought, yeah, you do. That's awesome. We're going to do this. And he said, "I want you to know that a portion of what you give here, your offerings, your donations to the church, to God, those to go out to build the kingdom, I want you to know that a portion of that is used to hire mercenaries to go kill the bad guys." What? What are you talking about? I actually was so confused. I thought I misheard that I actually rewound it. And I was like, okay, so maybe, no, this is totally wrong. I'm hearing something different. Something weird's going on. And I listened to it again. He said, "The money that you're giving here at the church is going to mercenaries to take out the bad guys." I'm pretty sure I went like this with my hands on my head. And as I'm doing that, it was followed by a thunderous cheer and applause from the congregation. And in that moment, I said to myself, I could never work for this church. All of the money that is given in a church should go to build God's kingdom. Who are the bad guys? All of us. What are you talking about? We're supposed to be spreading love, the good news, the truth of Jesus Christ. And I looked up and I said, "I hear you, God. The grass isn't greener on the other side. It may look pretty. It may look greener." And the truth is, I was coveting that church. It wasn't about me following God. It had nothing to do about me wondering what God wanted for me and from me. It was all about what I thought would be a better life, about something that I thought would actually make me happy. And God was telling me, stop. This will not make your life better. And God said, "I want you to long for me." He says, "I want you to do my will. I want you to desire everything that I want to give you." And that's what he's asking for us and from us in this commandment. It's not to look at what else is out there in the world, but to want him completely. We're told over and over again that we must desire him above all else. This is how this whole sermon series started. We talked about why God gave us these commandments and why we should follow them. They're not just a set of rules to keep you in line. We found out in the first week, it's all because God loves us first. He has moved mountains for us. He has given us victory through his Son, Jesus Christ. We are redeemed and saved through his Son alone. And we'll talk about that next Sunday at Easter. And if you want to know more, it's an exciting sermon. It's always my favorite. I get a little hyperactive, so I'm sorry already for Kathy here. But it's because we're talking about what God has done for you personally. And now that you know how much God loves you, how can you not desire Him? How can you not see how much He loves you? No matter what you're going through, God wants the best for you and from you. And that's exactly what Paul talks about in Colossians. We're going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 17. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along the same Bible that I'm using here, we have some in the rows or we have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 17 in its entirety. There's a lot going on there, but we're going to break down everything that he's talking about. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So this starts talking about your heart and your mind. If you know who Jesus is, if you know that he is Lord, then you have been raised with Christ. It's not about the here and now on this earth. It's not about your desires. It's all about him. It's all about following him. And since you know the truth, we are told to set our hearts on things above. Your desires, your wants, your longings, they should be completely for God and his glory. And it is repeated with verse 4 talking about our minds. And it's because our hearts, it's where our desires are. You can feel that burning inside of you. You say, I got to do something, or I know this is real. You have this overflow of emotion, and our mind is what does the planning and the execution. You're saying, you know what? Now that I have this in me, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to use my body to actually go out there and share the truth. I'm going to use all of my words. I'm going to use everything that my mind has to be focused on God, focused on his glory, focused on his wants, on his desires. And here Paul is reminding us why we should be living this way. Because when you believe in your heart and you are baptized, you are saying, my old self is gone. God is making me into something new. You are now called to live a life completely for Him. And then we get this nice list of don'ts in the verses here. And you've been listening to this sermon series, a lot of what we talked about in the list of don'ts is in the Ten Commandments. But here, the author Paul wants to make sure we understand in detail of what we should not be doing. Because when we just hear a little bit, well, you shall not murder, we're like, oh, I'm good. I'm good to go. And Paul says, no, there's so much more. And so he starts off with saying, these things, though, that are bad for you, they need to be put to death. Not that you can pick them up later. It's not that you're going to go ahead and set it on a shelf and just decide at a later time to take care of these things. No, it says that these things that are bad for you, they need to be dead. Bury them. Leave them behind as you keep moving forward in your life. All these things that are not from God, they should not be in your life in any way, shape, or form. He says sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. That's a pretty long list. But verse 11 is my favorite part of these verses because we have a tendency to say, well, this isn't for me. Well, it's talking about other people here. This is talking about maybe someone else that's doing great in their life. This isn't for me. And Paul makes it very clear. And he says, I don't care who you are. He starts off with saying, I don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile. That literally covers everybody. Okay? He lets us know that if you are one of God's chosen people, a Jew, it's for you. And everybody that's not, that's literally everyone else, it's for you as well. But obviously, it wasn't making the point enough. And he makes it and takes it a little further. He says, it doesn't matter if you've been circumcised or not. It doesn't matter if you're a barbarian, a Scythian, a slave, someone who's free. You have to know that Jesus Christ is for all. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what situation you are in, you can be redeemed. And you need to live like you know it. And then we get the do's. I love the do's. The do's are so much better than the don'ts. When someone says, don't do that, you get mad. When someone says, hey, can you do this? You go, oh, okay, I can do that. It's so much like lighter. And we're told over and over again, these are the don'ts. And we get upset because I don't like this list. Well, the Bible does something amazing and tells us, do this instead. If you do the thing that God asks you to do, you have to realize you won't even come close to the list of don'ts. So let me explain. Verse 12, he says, clothe yourself with these things. He says, I want you to wear it on your body. Let it cover you. Let everyone see these things. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive one another, and above all else, put on love. Real love. Not a simple, oh yeah, I love you, and then you walk away whispering, I can't stand that guy. That's not love. No, to truly love people the way that God loves us. To love the hurt. To love the broken. To love the cruel. To love the haters. We're supposed to love everyone. And when you are doing these things that God has asked us to do, you are living the way God has intended it to be. And you have to know, when you're doing these things, the don'ts go away. When you're being patient and kind, you cannot be filled with rage and anger. You're not sitting there going, oh, I understand. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah, but I don't like you when you're dumb. That makes no sense, okay? It doesn't work that way. You can't be patient and kind and filled with rage and anger. When you're loving other people the way that God has asked us to love them, you won't be filled with lust. You won't fall into sexual immorality because you're truly loving them for who they are. When you're being humble and gentle. You're not going to have malice or evil intent for others. You won't sit back and go, yeah, I know, we're all broken. This is really hard. But you know what? God loves you too, and I hope the worst for you. Not, what? No. That doesn't make any sense. You can't be humble and gentle and have malice and evil intent for other people. That's why God is saying, do these things and you will follow my commands. And you may be asking, well, which commands will I be following if I do these things? All of them. That's how that works. When you follow what God asks you to do by putting on these things like kindness, humility, and gentleness, you will follow these commands, all of them. And so I want to reread the Ten Commandments and go over what God has asked just in these Ten Commandments. And that's in Exodus 20, 1 through 17. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. It says, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. If we read through one of those and you're saying, what does that mean? Don't worry. We have all the sermons that we went over the last 11 weeks that will cover those. Go check those out. If you follow, though, what was said in Colossians 3, and you do what God has asked us to do, you'll be following all of these commands from Exodus here. And I love what it says at the end of Colossians, verse 17. It says, whatever you do, whatever you are doing in this life, doesn't matter if you're just sitting around the dinner table eating, if you're hanging out with friends, if you're at work, if you're out shopping, talking to strangers, talking to friends, talking to family, no matter what you are doing in this life, he says, do it all for Jesus. Do it all to show your thanks and love to God the Father because of what he has done for us first. Never forget that part. It's not that he's trying to control you. He's saying, I love you so much. These things, they're so good for you. It will keep you holy. It will keep you near me. And it will glorify his name. So follow these commands. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. For those who are not sure who Jesus is or what role he plays in your life, I'm going to let you know right now, if you're looking for the greener grass, God is that greener grass. He's the only thing that will fulfill and satisfy you. And as we go into Easter, ask what Easter means to a follower of Christ. Ask them why it's so important. Find out how much God loves you through his son, Jesus. And if you're saying, I'm not sure who to ask me. And if you're saying, I don't know you, and I am really scared of you. I'm sorry. You don't have to be. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't feel comfortable asking me, ask someone you trust. Make sure you're seeking those answers, finding out what this life is really for. For those of you who claim you're a follower of Christ, I want you to know, you have been redeemed. You have been saved. And overall, you are loved. Now live like you know it's true. Every moment of every day, live like you know that you are loved beyond measure. Live for God every day in every circumstance and put on the godly things. Be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient. And then this is the hard one, and forgive. Forgive as God has forgiven you. It's not that you deserved His forgiveness and grace and love. He gives it all because He loves you. So show that love by forgiving others. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to learn more about you, to take your teachings and your word right here and apply it to our lives, because it will be the best thing that we have ever done. We are called to live differently if we are saved through Christ. I pray that we can live it every single day. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. So we're now going to have a time of invitation. And so during this next song, if you're saying, I have some questions, I'm not sure what to do, can you go with me to talk to God? Anything that you need to talk about, I would ask you, please, during this next song, stand up, head out those doors, and head to the left to the Next Steps room. It's the Next Steps room because we're going to talk about what's the next steps that you're going to take in your life. And if you're saying, you know what, I've heard there's been a lot of baptisms. Someone asked me, so what's up with all the baptisms? We had 4 baptisms in 3 weeks. What's going on there? What's happening? What's happening is that people are saying, I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and He died for me, and I'm going to tell every single person that I know, I'm going to follow Jesus' commands to be baptized. I'm going to get in that water. I'm going to go down, come out, and be something new. And if you're saying, yeah, I haven't taken that step, but I would love to, we want to talk to you about that as well. If there's anything that's on your heart today and you need to talk to somebody.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.